And we are back once again for the Parish of the Patriots, episode number 218th installment. If you're first time here, you're going to have fun with this show. This is we have a lot of fun here. We discuss serious stuff. We laugh. We try to keep our sanity in this crazy world around us. If you're the first time here, I always like to imagine there's somebody tuning in for the first time. Because I think it's a treat. I think what we got going here is a treat. You're welcome to the congregation. You know, you might not agree with everything we talk about here, but you're still welcome. Now, if you're going to start bitching and complaining, you can get the hell out. But other than that, you're welcome. We do have a Christian-specific segment. That's roughly the halfway point of the show. When I say roughly, I mean roughly. Sometimes it's way earlier, sometimes it's way later. Stick around for that. Stick around for it. If you're not going to stick, if you normally listen, if you're a return member, and if you don't, you skip the Christian-specific segment. This is the one show you're not going to want to skip it. Trust me. If you just absolute, I don't know, you reject Christianity and you got an altar set up to Thor or some shit, and you worshiping the Viking gods. Listen to today's Christian specific segment. You're not gonna miss. I think it's gonna be a good discussion. It's like a psychic moment. I predict it's gonna be a great discussion, and you're not gonna want to miss it out. We do pass the plate around. It doesn't take very long. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. Even if you ain't a Christian believer, you better put some in the plate. No, I do appreciate it, though. If you want to be a part of that, go down to the description page here for the show on Radio Albion. Got snail mail. Got it right there. Snail mail. Doesn't get easier than that. Got the Bitcoin. Got the Monero. Got email address down there. Drop some notes down in there. If you got a weirdo cryptocurrency, and by weirdo cryptocurrency, I mean shit coins. I will take your shit coins, okay? Just drop me a note. I can probably get you a wallet address for your whatever coins. I take them. I'm not proud. Beggars can't be choosers. Beggars can't be choosers. Beggars have to take shit coins. So I will take those and take them gratefully. With that having been said, with all that having been said, let's get into the fun, always fun, listener, supporter, mailbag. Hopefully I won't miss any this week. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I had somebody drop a note, and it's like, I thought I'd gone through all the notes. And then, like, later on, like, I'm going through, and I'm like, I don't remember reading this. It's in the pile. I don't remember reading this. I went back and re-listened to the show. I'm like, I didn't read this guy's note. Now, you might say, well, that's trivial. That ain't nobody. It bothered me, and I got it on the next week. It bothers me. Y'all go the trouble, throw something in the plate. I go the trouble of at least letting you know it got here and that I do appreciate it. Keep up the good work. Ranting, rambling, and raving. That's from Cindy. There shall be rambling. I tell you what, these shows, the content varies to a certain extent here and yonder. But rambling is the consistency. There's one consistent element to these shows, and that is rambling. We will get off topic. Did last Friday's Daily Nationals spin, and at one point he was like, I believe I've kind of rambled off here a little bit. It is like you, Grandpa. Yes, yes, it's just like me. Having a Grandpa moment. Dear Grandpa, hope that all is well with you. A few Fed bucks for the wheelbarrow, keeping you in our prayers. Thanks for all you do. Be well. God bless. That's from Nick. And I do appreciate it. Yes, it's very much appreciated. Doing okay. And I am going to be going here. I'm like, I don't know what I, like 6 months overdue. 6 months overdue now for my cancer scan. I'm going to go get that now later this month. I'm going to go get that and then find out. Make sure I don't have any cancer creeping back in. When I find that out, I will share it with y'all. So far, so good. Feeling fine. Because I don't mean nothing. I had two different kinds of cancer. And I still felt fine. Well, I said, I feel fine for my age. People say, are you hurting? Every day. I get up out of bed and it just sounds like, I don't know, a bridge collapse or something. How you feeling? Well, about like always. which I consider good. I consider good. Most of you probably don't consider it so good. Grandpa, any word on what day Sven will be sentenced? And also, we have, will he have someone on the outside in the UK converting his crypto to UK currency and putting it in his books for him while he's inside? And that's from Andy. A very good question. Because go jail, commissary is going to be an important aspect of your life. I'm not, basically, we're not discussing the sentencing thing before it happens. And that's, Sven has asked that. And obviously I'm going to respect it. We're not getting into it too much. We don't want to make that a thing here. You know, obviously before it takes place, I will say that every effort's going to be made that if the worst outcome happens from this, and I think I'm fine saying this, but if things don't go well, every effort is going to be made. I'm going to still continue to try to have these shows up here for y'all. Okay. So it's not like this is going to disappear. And, you know, as to your question, we'll get into that if that time comes. Now, obviously, if that happens, and I pray that it doesn't, if we have a bad outcome from that, and, you know, the sound quality is going to go down. I ain't going to lie. You know, I mean, I clean these shows up, you know, and kind of try to edit it and make them presentable. But then I send them Sven and he really makes them presentable. The audio quality should suffer if that were to happen. But then that's why we haven't discussed it. It is not like we're not thinking about him. And we're just, you know, the less we discuss this, I think ahead of time, the decision has been kind of made among all of us here that the less we discuss this ahead of time, probably the better off we're going to be, you know, and all of y'all are smart enough to understand why that is. So we will keep you posted on Sven's situation. Okay. We really are. We're not, I promise you, we're not going to leave you. I am not going to leave y'all in the dark on this. Okay. As it comes back, it is upcoming. I will say it is upcoming. Hasn't taken place yet. No, and trust me, we're going to keep you up to date on it. And as this comes to pass, we're just bear with us. So anyway, I appreciate it. And all of y'all who have dropped, you know, notes in your, you know, I can't spit my words out, have dropped notes and, you know, talk about, you know, you're thinking of Sven, you're praying for Sven. It's appreciated. I appreciate it. He obviously very much appreciates it. You know, and you just keep it coming, you know, just keep it coming. Dear Grandpa Dan, finally, dear Grandpa Dan, hope all is well. Please send 20 to Steve, to Steve. I just need to start all over. This is bad. Is this started off and I can't talk. I'm sorry. Please send 20 to Sven. I pray for you and all truth tellers from Debbie. Your prayers I appreciate. And I believe your prayers matter. You know, you hear people, and it's like, you know, you read a news story of something going on, and there's always somebody in there like, you know, thoughts and prayers go out. And you know, like, I think, like, I say you know, but I would speculate. Like, 70% of them people ain't praying for nobody. They just putting that down, like virtue signaling, you know? Pray, thoughts and prayers go out. And you'll have these mockers, you know, and they'll be like, oh, your thoughts and prayers really making a difference, ain't it? Empty thoughts and prayers. You know, you read about some story about something, because, like, I mean, okay, look, like we're concerned about Sven. Y'all know Sven. You may not have met him personally, but y'all listen and y'all know the work, and you know, look, the character of the man comes out in the work he does here. You listen to his shows. You know, I've known Sven, you know, I've never met the man personally, obviously, but I've known Sven. Obviously, we have done, I don't know how many shows together. I really don't, like, literally don't know. And you know somebody. And so when something happens to somebody, you care about because you feel like you know them. But if you read some random news story about somebody, you have no idea who it is. You know, you read a news story and a family of five was in a van and it flipped over and killed everybody in the van. You know, except one little girl. Now she's got to grow up with no family. I mean, yeah, that's sad. You know, but people be like, you know, oh, commenting about it to make it about themselves. I'm so heartbroken hearing this story. No, you're not. That really, I'm serious, that pisses me off. Because the people that might have known them, and for the, like, say, the one surviving little girl, now got to grow up a family, it's heartbreaking for them. When some asshole doesn't even know these people on the internet talking about, I'm so heartbroken. I am. It's about me. Me. I'm so heartbroken. Thoughts and prayers. I'm praying for them. No, they're not. And even if they were, it would mean nothing. Why? Because it's insincere. I mean, you might be of good intention. But, I mean, let me be honest. You don't know them people. Don't know them people. On the contrary, your prayers, I do believe your prayers, sincere prayers, do make a difference. That God will hear them. And God is going to do what God's going to do. But this is part of us putting in the work. This is part of us making the effort and submitting to the Lord. I do. Just as I believe, from time to time, I guess. And some of you may be wondering. And I said something about this recently on another show, and I'm going to wind up reiterating myself, and I'm sorry. But you may wonder, Grandpa, this is the 218th episode of this show. Why? Why? You should be asking how. How it's remotely interesting after 218 episodes, and some of y'all been long enough, like, well, let me tell you, I got bad news, because it ain't interesting. No. Your shows have slipped, Gramps. They ain't very interesting anymore. I get notes like that sometimes. I used to. Those people have finally left, I guess. Or shut the hell up. I don't know. But I used to get notes. Your shows ain't fun no more. Stale. Don't even care. Anyway. Why do you do what you do? Why do you continue this? You know? And my motivations have morphed and changed over these. I'm not going to lie. Why do I do this today? Why do I continue to do this today? And because if I had to sum it up in as few words as possible, it would be that I believe that the truth in and of itself has inherent value. If you speak the truth, I believe, let me say that again. I believe the truth in and of itself, simply by existing, has inherent value. Yes, this is related to the whole Christianity thing, but we're not getting into that now. You got to listen to the Christian specific segment. You want that? You should. The truth in and of itself has value. It doesn't matter if nobody else, and when I say it has intrinsic value in and of itself simply by existing, what I mean by that is whether or not anybody believes it or not is irrelevant. Okay? This is what keeps me going, because in and of itself, the truth has value. It doesn't matter if you speak the truth and literally every person on the planet rejects you and says you're a lunatic. It doesn't matter. That truth still holds value, regardless of what anybody thinks or what anybody says. In fact, the argument I think could be made that the more it is rejected by other people, the more value it has. You know, think of it like the law of supply and demand. You know? People don't want the truth. They reject the truth. And so what is the demand? It makes it more valuable. I don't know. That wasn't the best illustration. Pretend I didn't say that because I'm too lazy to go back and edit it out and pretend, make it like it never happened. So I'm saying the quality of these shows. Y'all need to keep praying for Sven, because quality of these shows is going to go way down. You think you've got rambling now? You haven't seen rambling. I do think your prayers make a difference. I'd reel that back in. I do think your prayers make a difference. Nothing else. It shores up the hearts for those who are prayed for, if they themselves are also seeking the Lord. If that makes sense. You send your prayers for somebody to the Lord, and that person is seeking out the Lord. It's kind of like they meet there in the middle. Anyway. You know, I talked recently about, it might have been last week, might have been the week before. I don't know. Too lazy to look. I just don't. I put a lot of effort in these shows. You may think it doesn't. You may think I don't. Like, I just phoning it in, but it's like the opposite. We were talking here a while back about, you know, the importance of understanding that the things they tell you, like you grew up, you know, thinking you understood and the way the laws were applied and the way the system works, it's important to understand that it don't work like that. Because if you don't understand, if you reject that reality, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble. Hey, there's a reason they put all these like law and order shows on TV, you know, where the FBI is just honestly going after real terrorist criminals. And they think they got the minute they think they got the wrong guy, boy, they're cutting him loose and they're apologizing because they want to do the right thing. Good guy, America. You know, same with the like the law and order type shows, you know, and the prosecutors getting all ready to prosecute this case, and they got their case all ready, they're fixing to go to court, and they realize they got the wrong guy. And they bring him in and say, "We apologize. We realize it wasn't you, Don Terrius. You were actually a good boy who didn't do anything. We apologize." That don't happen. Prosecutors just care about prosecuting you. They don't give a shit if you're guilty or innocent. And it's important. It's important to understand that. Important to understand how the system actually works. Because if you're running around thinking it works in some way that it doesn't, you're more likely to do something that's going to get you caught up in that system and they're going to grind you up. What the hell has this got to do? Well, in the news this last week, they convicted some more people from January 6th. Proud Boys. And among these Proud Boys that they have arrested and can now convicted, the head guy, what the hell was his name? Enrique something or whatever. You know who I'm talking about. Because I'm on a roll. It's not because I'm lazy, too lazy to look it up. And when the name doesn't cross my mind, it's because I'm on a roll. And if I stop that momentum, there ain't no telling what the show's going to go off into. He wasn't even there. And they convicted him of seditious conspiracy to destroy our democracy or some other made up horseshit. And they're reporting on this. I'm watching this network news on here, and I subject myself to very little network news because it's mentally unhealthy because they lie about literally everything. So I limit that. But you got to see what's going on. You got to see what the lie is. But I always view it with, let's see what the lie is. I don't view it with, they're going to tell me some information that's really useful. They do sometimes do that, but it's not on purpose. Anyway, they were reporting on this story and how they convicted the head of the Proud Boys for being a part of this evil, seditious conspiracy to destroy our democracy, our values, and who we are, who wasn't even at January 6th. And the reporter, like, unable to contain the smirk on his face, he says, the Justice Department has now managed to bring a thousand cases over January 6th. And in every case, they have managed to get at least a partial conviction, a full or at least partial conviction in all 1,000. This guy's smirking. And he says, this will open the door. Convicting this Taurus guy, I think that was his name, that wasn't even there. He says, this is going to open up. The Justice Department is now going to be able to go out and get more people who weren't even at January 6th. They're going to be able to go out and round up people that wasn't even there now as being a part of the seditious conspiracy to destroy our democracy, our values of who we are. Smirky. But when he made that statement about 1,000 people, they brought charges against 1,000 people, gotten a conviction or a partial conviction on every single case. This is also smirking because he acts like that shows how guilty these people are. The lack of self-awareness is breathtaking. These are the same people that when someone like Lukashenko gets elected with like 90% of the vote, they go, that's ridiculous. No politician could be so popular that they get 90% of the vote. That in and of itself proves that it's fake. Their own words convict them. There's no way you're going to try 1,000 people in a fair system and every single one of them is going to be convicted. There ain't no way. No way. No way in hell. If the jury system, if the court system functioned like we were brought up to believe, or even I would say as it used to somewhat function several decades ago, just by the law of probability, you ain't getting no conviction for no 1,000 people. You're going to have a certain amount of those under an actual functioning legal system. You're going to have a certain amount of those that are going to slip through and the jury ain't buying it. And they're going to be like, nah. No. Remember, they convicted the QAnon shaman squirrel guy. And it turns out they had video of him being led around, escorted around by the police. And then the police were like, hey, you need to, these people need to go on. And he's like, oh, okay. Hey, guys, the cops say we need to leave now. They convicted that guy, even with that video. Of course, they withheld the video from the jury. You see, once again, back in the day when you kind of sort of had a functioning legal system, that would have been pretty much an automatic overturn. This conviction is kicked out. And probably the prosecutor is going to be censored in some way or another. But not anymore. It's just the lack of self-awareness. I thought it was funny. They've gotten 1,000 convictions out of 1,000 cases. Smirk, smirk, smirk. And now they're going to go after people who aren't even there. This is great. That tells you. I read a story a while back about one of these people. Not this particular group here, but somebody that had been, some rando from, I don't know, Iowa or some thing. You know, he's there protesting. Don't even think the guy went inside the cab, but they got convicted. And I was reading this article about this guy being convicted, and it turns out one of the jurors that convicted him, because see, you don't get no jury of your peers. You know, like you from Ohio, and you're going to get, they're going to trump up some of these charges on you. They're dragging you to Washington, D.C. You ain't getting a jury from your small town in Ohio because they can't convict you there. They're going to drag you to Washington, D.C. They're going to drag you to New York City like they did the Ricky Vaughn guy. He was from Florida, I believe. He didn't get no jury of his peer in Florida. They took his ass to New York City so they could convict him. The people got to Washington, D.C. for their trial. Anyway, this woman that was on the jury was making the rounds at CNN afterwards, bragging about how she was so glad they convicted these people. And she brought up something. In all of her victory lap doing interviews with CNN and the likes, one of the guys on the jury actually worked for the Justice Department. They're in the deliberations. And this guy is like, I can't believe they let me on the jury. I work for the prosecution. Maybe not directly the literal guys doing the case, but it's being prosecuted by the Justice Department. This guy works for the Justice Department. There's a guy on the jury that literally works for the prosecution. And he's on the jury. Don't think this system works. Don't forget, because it's tempting to be in denial, you know, because it's so, you know, the implications of this are so serious, but that just puts you in danger. Understand, this is the way the system works. It's not malfunctioning. It's been redesigned. This is the way the system works now. If you go around acting like, you know, it's 30, 40 years ago, and you're going to get a fair shake, and you're going to get a jury of your peers who are going to hear the evidence, and they're going to say, well, this is stupid, a ridiculous case, and we're kicking it out. Don't think that. They got to take you to Washington, D.C. and put the prosecution's people on the jury. It's an amazing thing. That really got me. Because this guy, this journalist, because we don't have reporters anymore. We have journalists. And he's smirking up there about this. You mean he can't contain his glee. They've gotten 1,000 convictions out of 1,000 cases. That's how guilty these people. No, that's how illegitimate this system is. You got to do this in front of a jury? And you're going to tell me that's legit. 1,000? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no. Probability tells you that ain't going to happen. Got to understand how the system works so you don't get caught up in it, because you go out there and be like, that's okay. I haven't done anything illegal. I got the right to protest for Trump. This is the people's house. You know, people went up there January 6th. They were like, this is the people's house, because that's what they used to call it. And then it became the holy sacrosanct hall of the Congress. It ain't what you think it is. But get real with that, you're going to get in trouble. I don't want y'all getting in trouble. I really don't. Too many people getting in trouble. And now they're going to start going after people. Now they're going to go after people who wasn't even at January 6th. You know? Where's that go? Because it just keeps leading to another, to another, to another. They're going to be like, you wasn't there. You never left Arizona, but you was all over Facebook and you had 500 followers and you was on your Facebook page going, good, go to January 6th. Good. It's time for the people to rise up. And out of your 500 followers, there were four feds that went up there and broke a window in front of a TV camera. You encouraged them, you see. You were part of the insurrection and the violent attempt to pull a coup and destroy our democracy and value of who we are. Don't even sit there, shake your head, going, they wouldn't do that, because you if you've got a functioning brain, you're sitting there going, oh, shit. Oh, better go delete my Facebook posts. They're going to be like, you also now are being charged with obstruction of justice and trying to destroy evidence. That's the way they work. See, they be coming at you. That's how they get you. Anyway, crazy times. We're going to get into the Christian specific segment. I'm having a psychic moment. Once again, it's going to go long. I can tell it. So we're going to go ahead and get off into that. It'll be less rambling and make more sense, I believe. Maybe. Hopefully, we can always keep hope alive, brother. We can always hope that it's going to make more sense. Maybe be more entertaining than the first part of the show. But either way, I encourage you. Listen. You want to tune in. You want to listen. Either way, you know what to do. Get in there. Fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. And I have to say this week, it's kind of less of a sermon or Christian-specific discussion. It's going to be more along the lines, not so much focused on our faith necessarily, as understanding the world around us. And I'll explain that here in just a minute. But before we do that, I want to go ahead and jumping back into listener supporter mailbag. GPD, could you please go over the difference between evil and wickedness? I seem to remember you covered this in a past show. Questions I have, such as, is a tornado evil? Can humans be evil or just wicked? That's from Mr. T. And actually, this is very fortuitous because I'm going to work that in what I had already kind of figured we would discuss this week. So that actually you gave me because I already kind of, like I said, it's more of an understanding of the world around us type of discussion is what I had in mind. And yes, you're right. We did have a discussion about that sometimes. It's been a minute ago. And see, this is why it makes me feel a little better that sometimes what I do here is a little repetitive, because we do. You forget. I mean, it's like we did it. We discussed it on a show here a while back. And yes, I know for a fact we did. No, I don't. I couldn't tell you which show number it was, you know, it's you don't have to worry. I'm not one of those people like, you know, you go on a forum and ask an honest question. And instead of somebody, they can just give you the quick answer to solve your problem. They do the whole, you know, why don't you use the search function? Don't ask me why your car doesn't start. Everybody knows this problem. Use the search function. They did more typing than they could have just answered. You know, there's a plug that always wears out up there on the throttle body or something. I'm not one of those people. I'm not going to sit here and use the search function, Mr. T. Look that up. You can look. Not like that. No, it is. It's fortuitous because your question about evil versus wickedness, it's going to fit right in. So I'm not answering your question necessarily right away. We'll get the examples. I guess we could say we'll get to the examples. I'll say the long story short is, yes, I see a distinct difference. To answer your specific questions, is a tornado evil? Well, yes. If it hits your house, if a tornado comes through and hits your house, that is a evil thing that happened to you. Now, obviously, it's not wicked. The tornado didn't have any malice towards you and, you know, it wasn't up there. Back when it was just a tail hanging out of its hanging out of its cloud, just being born. It's just a tail hanging out of the cloud. That sounds vulgar. I feel degenerate saying that. But it's not evil. Back when it was a tail hanging out of the cloud, I wasn't thinking, where is that guy's house? Because here I come. No, but it is something evil. Now, wickedness and evil can go hand in hand, because wickedness pretty much always leads to something evil happening. If I recall right, when we did discuss this on the show, I used the example of if you were driving down the street and somebody was staring at their cell phone, not paying attention, ran a stop sign, T-boned your car, and killed you, you know, that would be something evil that happened to you. It wouldn't be necessarily wickedness on the person that did it, because they didn't have mal intent. It was just they were a part of what happened. Now, same scenario again, if you were driving down your street and there's a person sitting back there in their car and they've been lusting after your wife for a while and they're like, I can get with his old lady if he was just out of the way. And in their desire for your wife, they hatch this plan and they run a stop sign and crash into your car and kill you. You see, now, there's still something evil that happened to you. The result was the same. But you see, it was driven by this person's wickedness, their wicked desire. You see the difference? I think we'll actually kind of be able to get a little more into that as we go on further into our discussion. And it's not necessarily something you gotta agonize over, because there is overlap between wickedness and evil. But it's something, as I recall, you know, we talked about before, it's something that helps understand when you're reading your Bible, especially in the Old Testament, because we tend in our modern, you know, the way we think about things and word things, verbalize things, we tend to interchange evil for wickedness, like they're one and the same. And in the biblical context, that's not the case. I mean, evil is something, you can think of evil as just, you know, something bad. Evil times come upon you. We are in evil times. I mean, hey, you look around clown world here in the West, and there's no doubt we're in evil times. There's war happening all around, you know, in different parts of the world. We have all of these crazy, crazy agendas being pushed on the public and these lying narratives. And you see, these are very evil times. And much of this evil, virtually all of this evil, is being driven by men's wickedness. The people's hearts, men have turned to wickedness. And the result is always evil. When men turn their heart towards wickedness, you're always going to get an evil result. People are not going to undertake a wicked, sinful action and get a good result. This gets back to how I always say things are intertwined. You know, these things, everything in the Bible seems to be related to one another. You know, Jesus told us, by their fruit you will know them. You're not going to get figs off of a thorn bush. You're not going to commit. Somebody isn't going to be out there living in sin, you know, committing wickedness. When people set their hearts on wickedness and commit wickedness, you're not going to get good results from that. Just as the Bible says, you're not going to get figs from a thorn bush. You know, you're not going to get good things by setting your heart on wickedness. And the hearts of the men in the world around us are very much, by and large, we've hit a critical mass of people who've set their hearts on wickedness, and we're getting these evil results. And we keep seeing more and more, and the news is just, well, what evil thing is happening in the world today? Again, it's not something, you know, you really have to, you know, stress about, but it does, if you kind of keep that in mind when you read your Bible, it is mostly something that if you keep that in mind when you read your Bible, it will help it make more sense. I think, like I say, I think we'll discuss this more as we go along in our discussion today, because like I say, I can kind of fit this in to what I'd originally planned to discuss, which is along the lines of understanding this world around us. How do people get so far gone? There's a story in the news here in the past week or so, you know, and I record the show generally on Saturdays. Almost always on the weekends, sometimes Sundays, but always on Saturdays. Of course, obviously it airs on Tuesday. And so whenever y'all catch me saying something like, you know, this week in the news, and y'all are like, that's a week old, bruh. Well, that's because I'm recording on Saturdays. So anyway, story in the news. Up here in Oklahoma, there was this, you know, they found 7 dead bodies. You know, they were missing 2 teenage girls, and they're looking for them, and they found 7 bodies. And the consensus at this point was that the guy who had a registered sex offender past, you know, he murdered everybody and then killed himself. He's married to this woman, killed her, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, three kids and these two girls that came over. So he killed her, the three kids, so it'd be his three stepchildren, the two friends that came over, and then himself. And these sort of events tend to raise the question, how does somebody get that far gone? No, and this is important. It really is, because it's important for your own mental health to if the better you understand the things that are going on around you in the world, this increase, this evil in the world due to the increase of wickedness in men's hearts. How does somebody get that far gone? Now, as of the time that I'm recording the show, they're not releasing a lot of details. My understanding, he was fixing to face some charges for texting some teenage girl over a phone and you know, getting illicit pictures or something like that. And he, like I say, he was a registered sex offender from, I think, the early 2000s. I'm doing this off the top of my head. That's why I sound like... That's why I sound like I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. It was a rape conviction from the early 2000s. So he had a registered sex offender past. I think we can kind of put together what happened here. But as of the time I'm recording the show, they haven't really released any of that information. But we can kind of speculate. So we are going to do a little speculating here. And I'm just saying up front that that's a certain amount of speculation on my part. But it's for the sake of the discussion, which is, again, you see an event like this in the news, turn on your news, and I say, what's going on? Well, they've been looking for these two missing teenage girls. Now, you assume a lot of times when you get this, you know, two missing teenage girls, they ran off with some old boy, you know? Drives me crazy. It's one of my pet peeves. Yes, I'm rambling again. But it is. It's one of my pet peeves. Here, we've got the Amber Alert system, which was named after this little girl named Amber. She was like, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years old, way back in the day. I remember when it happened. And I believe it was up in DFW. And she was abducted by some degenerate. And he raped and murdered this little girl. And they came up with this Amber Alert system. Because at the time, everybody was frantically looking around for this little girl. They couldn't find this little girl. And of course, when they found her, she was already dead. And so they come up with this Amber Alert system. And they text your phone. You know, here in Texas, they text your phone. You'll be going along and it's like an alarm goes off on your phone. And you look and there's a message. It's an Amber Alert. And the idea being that if you've got everybody who's out there, just, you know, delivery people commuting to work, going to the grocery store, you got all of these eyes and they're all looking. You know, they're looking for the candy. They'd be on the lookout for a white van. It's just free candy on the side of it. Some guy with a clown mask on driving it around like that's totally normal. And you know, basically fits the profile of Chester the molester. Be on the lookout. And it's a good idea. Nobody, yeah, this wasn't one of those controversial things when they passed this Amber Alert system. You know, nobody's like, we don't need that. You know, everybody's like, well, this is a good thing. Nobody could argue. Was it controversial? You set off the Amber Alert, people are looking for the little girl. Now here comes the problem. That don't happen very often. It don't. That don't happen very often. Thankfully, it doesn't happen very often. So they've got this Amber Alert system. And you know, government people, they want to use that damn thing. It's just sitting there. It's like they can't leave anything alone. These people probably don't have anything like money saved because they can't leave anything alone. They got to mess with it. Now, you get Amber Alert like almost once a week. Sometimes seems like several times a week. And nine times out of ten, you know, alarm goes off. 3 o'clock in the morning. Wake me up. Got to put my glasses on in the dark. I look at the phone. Yeah, Amber Alert. And it'll be one of two things. Scenario number one, be on the lookout for this child. Okay. Who's this child? 16-year-old girl. She's with this guy that's 20. in this vehicle with this license plate. She, in other words, she met some old boy from the internet and she done runned off with it. I'm sorry. I mean, I understand. Look, I understand that for her family, yeah, that's a big deal. But don't be setting off no damn Amber Alert. This ain't 7-year-old grabbed up by Chester the molester. It's some teenage girl run off with her old boy from the internet. And she's under the, you know, that arbitrary, the one thing in this country now that is like this sacred thing is the age of consent. Unless it's taking 7-year-olds to a drag show and having them rub around and dance around with homosexuals. The age of consent is especially for any sort of heterosexual activity, that age of consent is sacrosanct. They set off an alarm system. The same society that is doing transgender surgeries on 13-year-olds are setting off a child alert because a 16 or 17-year-old ran off with some old boy from the internet. Scenario number two, and these make up like 95% of the Amber Alerts that go off. Scenario number two, be on the lookout for this child or these two children. When it's two or more children, you don't know what it is. Be on the lookout for this child, these two children. They are in this vehicle with this license plate number. With this person, they know the person's name. And guess what? 9 times out of 10, that person's name, same last name as the kids. It's a non-custodial parent. They'd be setting off the Amber Alert. They'd be setting off the Amber Alert because a non-custodial parent has the children. I'm sure for the custodial parent, that pisses them off. But don't be setting off no Amber Alert. I'm supposed to be on high alert, red alert, red alert. We got to go look around. Why? Because these children are with their daddy or their mama. Don't even want to. No, don't be coming at me with that. Now get back on topic. We first heard they were like, oh, we're looking at these two teenage girls. You know, first reaction, people like, they probably done run off with some old boy. Now, obviously, that wasn't the case here. Which then begs the question, why the hell was I going on and on about the Amber Alert system? Because I just do. Because it wakes me up at 3:00 in the morning. I'd put my glasses on in the dark, fumbling around. Okay, so you hear these stories. You hear these stories. This old boy killed his wife, 3 stepkids, these 2 teenage girls. He's a sex offender. You can kind of put things together. What was probably his driving motivation? But how do people get there? We talk about in our Christian faith. In fact, last week I believe it was. If it wasn't last week, it was the week before. This is how short term my memory can be. We talked about in our Christian faith, you know, getting to a point to where like you're just living the way, you know, God's laws are written on your heart. You know, and we talk about you put in this constant effort. You know, it's a process. But you're striving towards becoming as Christ-like as you can. You know, you're moving step by step by step. You're constantly making this effort to become more and more Christ-like. You know, and you grow. It's a growing process. It's funny because it's not funny, but I mean, it's ironic, I guess you could say, because evil kind of works in the same way. Look, nobody wakes up one day out of the blue and says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to murder my wife, her 3 kids, and I'm going to wait till them 2 other bitches get over here. I'm going to kill them too. Whatever else he might have done before the killing gate. We're not even going to get to that because that's speculating. Like I say, nobody just wakes up one day and decides to do that. When you hear, you know, say some, if your neighbor, this happened to your neighbor. Your neighbor got up one day, killed his wife, 3 kids, and himself. You're like, oh my gosh, what caused him to do that? He didn't wake up one day and decide to do that. I can guarantee you he did not. You work up to it. Now, this is, we're fixing to get to the core of the matter. Sin, it starts with something small. Just as I said, it's the inversion of our own Christian faith. As Christian believers, we're working and we're striving, and you have to work at it. See, sin's easy. It just sucks you in. You get comfortable with it. Once you're comfortable with it, it just sucks you in, and it takes you further and further down the hole. With your faith, with living your Christ-like life, you have to work at it. This is the normal state of things because of our fallen nature while we're in this temporal realm. Just as with your faith, you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. Normally, quote unquote, normally accepting Christ, you know, acknowledging that you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, which is the beginning, not the end, as the MCC basically tells people once they say they believe in Christ, their Lord and Savior, that's it, they're done. That's the beginning of the work, you know, of your taking up the task of to try to become more, you know, in your understanding, your actions, your deeds, as Christ-like as you can. And as you absorb these things and learn them and implement them, and they become basically second nature to you because that's how you're living your life, it grows and you become more Christ-like. Evil is the inversion of that. It does the same thing. It kind of works in the inverted, you know, same way. In other words, you get comfortable with a sin that's not off the charts. It's a sin that maybe a lot of people are partaking in. You see, but then you get comfortable with it. You see, the first time, you know, you do it, you just like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe I did that. You know, maybe you feel real bad about it. But you see, the next time you go back and do it, it don't seem quite as bad, you know? I mean, you might still be upset with yourself and you might be like, oh my gosh. But it's not nearly as bad. And as you do that sin over and over and over again, you get more comfortable with it. And pretty soon, it ain't nothing. And guess what? When that sin isn't nothing, the next sin that's a little worse, Then that's the next thing, and the process repeats. You take it a step further, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I stepped over that line. That's crazy. It's crazy. Gotta go do it again. And now it's not so crazy, and it keeps. And if you follow that far enough, you're going to wind up at people killing 6 other people in themselves, and that somehow at that moment made sense to them. They had reached that was okay, but it didn't start. The Bible warns us a little yeast works its way through the entire dough. You start with a little bit. Now, our society promotes this stuff. It promotes it. It promotes sin. It encourages sin. It doesn't discourage it. It encourages it. Now, when obviously people go over the line, you know, then they'll condemn it. But the very same people who promote it are never going to own up to it and be like, man, we might have some responsibility in this. They just act like it happened out of the blue. Where did that? That's crazy. How did it happen? When you look at the things this society promotes, it's not hard to figure out how it happens. I saw a story the other day, just kind of as an example, because we look at America, okay? We look at America today, and you can look at another country where things haven't gone this far off the rails. But you look at America today, and I'm old enough, I remember all this crap started, you know? They started, you know, we look around, and you've got this, we're at the point now, people are protesting. Okay, they're protesting because they don't want any laws against doing sex change procedures on prepubescent children. That's where we are. Okay, the child drag show thing, the 13, 14-year-old girls cutting their breasts off and talking about their trans when they don't even know. You know, we're at that. But I remember when we were back years ago, when we were just talking about gay marriage. I saw a story. This has something to do with it. I saw a story the other day. and they're not that far gone in Japan. And they're doing this story to where, you know, they're promoting gay marriage in Japan. They're promoting, and of course they find somebody from Japan, you know, to be the face of this. And they were talking to this woman in Japan who's leading the fight for gay marriage equality. And she says what? She says, I've had my lesbian partner for, you know, we've been together for this many years. We're totally normal, just like anybody else. We just want to be married like anybody else. For instance, she says, if me or my partner go into the hospital, if we're not legally married, I can't go in and see them. And we've been together in a committed relationship for years. Now, for women or young people or whatever, they're going to hear that and be all emotional and be like, because they're playing this scenario out in the head. Oh my gosh, that would be so sad. They're in a committed, she didn't look like some sort of weird degenerate. She just loves this other woman and they together. And my gosh, if her partner was in the hospital and she runs down there and she's in tears and she worked because she'd been in Iraq and she says, I want to go see her. And they're like, well, who the hell are you? And said, well, I'm her lesbian lover. And they're not going to let me go see her. And it would be sad. Let's dismantle society for this hypothetical for this hypothetical scenario. Let's dismantle society. Of course, the whole thing falls apart upon any scrutiny. I spent some time in the hospital over the past year. Probably not my last time to spend some time in the hospital. Let's go ahead, because I want to blow that up. Because I do. I get so tired of the BS. I'm going to blow that up. Oh my gosh, I could go in there. I go to go see her. And they won't let me go see my lesbian partner. Change the law. Let's say that happens. Her partner, 5 years. And gets in a wreck. She goes down to the hospital in tears. Because she done got the news. She goes down there. And she goes, I need to go back. I want to go back. I want to see this. I want to see my loved one. And hospital like, who the hell are you? And Alicia looks at her and answers, I'm her sister. You know what? They ain't going to check. Trust me. They ain't going to check. You go down. If you got a girlfriend, you know, and you get into a wreck and she goes down there to see you and they say, who are you? We only letting family. And she looks at him and says, well, I'm his wife. They ain't going to ask no damn question. They ain't going to say, well, go home and get your marriage certificate because we ain't letting you back there to see him until we see it. You see, it's a made-up scenario, but it sounds tear-jerking. It sounds very convincing. See, I saw the arguments before. They were the same arguments, and they're using them again. Here's this made-up scenario, which doesn't hold any water. Because it's easily worked around. You should dismantle your entire society because of this hypothetical scenario we just presented. If bitch too stupid to go in there and say, I'm her sister, then she deserved not to see her. She probably don't even want to see her laying up in the bed, like with her leg up all wrapped up and stuff, just got out of an x-ray scan. And she's like, don't let her back here. She's so damn stupid. She don't know to tell them she's my sister. I don't even want to see her. You see, the evil, the wickedness, It starts from somewhere. It's just like when they promote this agenda. It doesn't sound bad. You're starting way back here at gay, quote, you know, gay marriage. Talking about, we just want to go see our loved one in the hospital. And you fast forward and you're cutting bitches' tits off at 13 years old. And talking about dressing up a 7-year-old little boy as a girl and having him dance around for dollars thrown at him in front of homosexuals in a gay bar. You see, they are related. Don't talk to me about no slippery slope fantasy or fallacy, because it ain't no fallacy. I'm old enough. I've done seen this play out. It increases. It starts when you start down the road of sin. It don't seem that big a deal. But once you get comfortable with it, Once you get comfy with it, then it leads to the next thing. So a man don't wake up one day and start murdering people and then killing himself out of the blue. They try to tell you, oh, he just snapped. That didn't happen out of the blue. It started somewhere. It started somewhere. Jesus famously said, if you commit adultery, if you look at a woman lustfully, you have committed adultery in your heart. And people don't understand what that means. They think Jesus was talking about, you know, if you just look at a woman, you're going to hell. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you don't wake up one day and cuck your neighbor by going over there and banging his old lady out. You don't just wake up one day and do that. You see, it starts with one day, you know, you get this habit of like, she out there hanging up the laundry every day at this time. And you're over there looking. And you're like, dang, she fine. You know, dang, you thinking about how good that would be. Like, it's going to be this amazing feeling. It's going to be life changing. And you just keep thinking about it. Every time you see her, you're like, dang, she fine. Every time. And then one day she hanging up the laundry and she see you over there and she's like, hey, how's it going? And you're like, oh, fine. She's like, my husband out of town right now. Would you like to come over here? You know? And you're like, all of that stuff, all them times you're thinking, you imagined and fantasized about doing the deed. Now all of a sudden those seeds are fixing to bear some fruit because she down. She down. See, that's what Jesus was saying. You've already committed it in your heart because you've set the stage. Would you entertain the idea? Now you're open to it. We got all this weird stuff, all of this wickedness, and it's leading to more and more evil. It always leads to more and more evil. We have a society that is awash in pornography. I mean, it is absolutely 100% awash in pornography. Pornography serves as a microcosm for how this works. Because people look at pornography. A man looks at pornography. And, you know, he might start off just looking at, you know, I don't know, some pictures or something. But see, once you get comfortable with that, you've got to get a little further. Because that's what makes it exciting, is you're not supposed to be doing that. We have an adult discussion here, too. Look, if you're a man and you listen to this, I virtually guaranteed you probably have looked at porn at some point in time. Let's be real here. If you are the one dude that hadn't, then good on you. Here's your pat on the back. Now, we're talking about everybody else. Because you're washing this shit in society. Unless you're working on yourself, you have probably at some point, when you were further behind, you probably have looked at that. Pretty soon, that ain't enough. And pretty soon, people start looking at stuff that's further and further out there. You know, when you hear about people and they end up looking, I don't know, it's this weird like BDSM and like, you know, these people are into like having somebody crap in their mouth while they got a blindfold on and like barbed wire wrapped around their tits and stuff. That's because all of the other stuff, it's like doing drugs, you know? People overdose on drugs because like that first hit, like they used to do a little bit and that ain't enough. So they had to do a little more and a little more, and they build up that tolerance to it until finally they take so much they can't breathe. They took too much because earlier they used to take a small dose and wow, that got them. But then, of course, they got used to that. So then they had to take a bigger dose to get that same feeling, that same hit. Finally, you take such a big dose, your body can't process it, and then you can't breathe. And then they make statues. Paint murals of you and stuff. Pornography very much works the same way. It is one of Satan's just really powerful tools that he uses. And it is Satan. You ever ask yourself, I saw a meme one time and it was so accurate. So it was like somebody, it was like, and all it was, if I remember correctly, it was like a screenshot, you know, from like a 4chan post. And somebody poses the question, they spend billions of dollars a year producing pornography. And yet you can get it for free at any time. Why is that? And somebody responded and said, because you pay with your soul. And that's just so accurate. It's something that people don't consider. People say, oh, you're talking about Jesus and the devil. That's all just made up. They can't answer that question. They spend billions of dollars a year producing pornography. And you could, who the hell pays for that stuff? It's free. This ain't back in my day when I was a kid, like in the 80s. And like, if you wanted pornography, you better have like a friend who had like a subscription to Playboy. Or if you're not, your friend had a subscription, your friend's dad has a subscription to Playboy. Or if your friend's dad was Freaky Penthouse or way out there, Hustler. I talk about stuff. People, anyone that's like under 30, 40 years old sitting around going, I don't even know what this dude's talking about. What are they on about? Talking about Penthouse and Hustler. What's Hustler? You know, if you wanted access to pornography, you better have a friend whose dad has a subscription to that, and like your friend was stealing dad's magazines. And then y'all like, look what I got. Pum, dun, dun. And this thing all like weather because you're hiding it out in the weeds and shit. You know, like a secret stash. Put it in a plastic bag and bury it. Friends come over on a sleepover.
I got a little something for us tonight, boys.
What's that? Dun, dun, dun. A 5-year-old Penthouse magazine. It's been rained. Don't let the condition of it worry. I hadn't done nothing weird to the magazine. It's just been rained on several times. You had to go out of your way. Ain't nobody going out of their way for porn now. They spend billions of dollars producing it. You get it for free. Why is that? Why is that? Because this is where you've got to understand the spiritual aspect. People try to understand this stuff strictly in secular terms and in terms of people who are only motivated by like profit or things like that. You know, then all of a sudden these things don't make any sense. You pose a question. People think you can explain everything away by money and by profit motive or whatever. When you pose this question, they spend billions of dollars producing porn, and the people that spend the billions of dollars tend to be, let's just say, pretty good when it comes to money. And yet, they give it away. You can find any kind of porn you want to. You ain't going to pay no money for that. I don't know who, is there anybody out there? I guess the only people that are paying for porn are these people on that OnlyFans thing, and they paying some girl to do freaky stuff on the webcam. I'm getting way too old. People should have to go dig out a Penthouse magazine from under a pile of dirt in their backyard or something. Go get that shit for free. Freaky stuff. And you have to understand the spiritual aspect. You can't explain that. You can't explain that with no profit motive. How they're profiting from paying all this money to make porn that they're giving away for free. There's another motivation. If you understand the spiritual aspect of this state of the world, it's going to make a whole lot more sense to you. You're going to be pulling your hair out. More wickedness. Wickedness begets more wickedness. In other words, wickedness leads to more extreme wickedness. That's why these headlines are so crazy today. You know, I remember that story from like, I think it was back in the 1800s, the Donner Party, you know, and they were going over the pass in the mountains and they got like froze in up there. I don't remember how many there was. I'm not looking it up. And it's just a passing story. There's like 5 or 7 people, whatever. And like when spring came and they could finally come down, like 2 or 3 of these people only came down, like everybody else died up there. And the rumor got started that they ate them people because they ain't nothing to eat up there. Everybody knew there wasn't nothing to eat up there. And yet these people somehow survived. And they ate the people in the party. And come to find out, if I remember correctly, they did. They ate the people in the party. And I remember back in the day, you know, that was bad. That was a scandalous thing. You remember? Scandalous event from history, the Donner Party. And people say, what would you do if you were facing death and starvation and cannibalism was the only option? And people get all, you know, wow. If you turn on the news today and there was a news story, you know, this would just sound like a normal news day, wouldn't it? You know, today a man was arrested. 2 men were arrested for, you know, cooking and eating 5 other people. That just sounds like another day in America, don't it? It ain't even that, you blip on the radar. You know? And they wasn't doing it because they had no food and they were going to starve to death because they snowed in. It's usually going to be related to some sort of weird sex stuff. You know, they cooking up for some weird sex event and things got a little far. Maybe they all got together and did a bunch of drugs and three of the people out of the five overdosed and died. And the other two were like, you know what we ought to do? What do we do with these bodies, man? You know what we ought to do? Let's eat them. Then they can't find the bodies. That don't even sound outrageous. It just sounds like something you expect to hear. You'd hear that on the news and you just shrug your shoulders and go, crazy world we live in. The point is, as we got to wrap up, the point is when you get to understand the world around you, understand when you hear some outrageous story of somebody doing outrageous things, that did not happen overnight. They started way back here, probably as something innocuous, something that didn't seem like a big deal. If you trace it back far enough, they probably started with something that you yourself have done. The difference is you didn't indulge in it. You rejected sin and you said, no, I'm working towards a betterment. Well, that person embraced it. That person incorporated. That person said, this is who I am. Sound familiar? And then the next thing got a little further out there. And the next thing, and then the next thing. And pretty soon, it consumed them. When it hits a critical mass, you might hear about it on the news. But understand, they started way back there. It's something that everybody probably has done. Something that seemed like no big deal. And again, I think it's important to help remember. We got to wrap up, but I think that's important in, you know, understanding the world around you, because it is. People, all this crazy crap going on. People are like, what's wrong with people? I'm telling you, this show right here, we have explained to you what's wrong with people. When you embrace sin, when you normalize it in your mind and in your heart, and this is at every level encouraged in our society and promoted in our society. You know, just about virtually every kind of sin is promoted in this society. When you incorporate that, when you get normalized with it, it's going to lead to more and more. And when you hear these crazy sounding stories of evil, just understand that didn't happen out of nowhere. We're going to wrap up on that note. Hopefully you got something. I think it was a great discussion. We're kind of a long time on this particular topic, because I do. I actually find it interesting. I do understand. And it helps you understand other people. It's important to understand other people. How did they get there? How did they get that far out there? Because if you just shrug your shoulders and say, well, they're some kind of freak. They're just a freak. And you see more and more people like reaching that critical mass. And you're like, how does this happen? Now you know. The more you know. Dun, this is my personal public service announcement. See, the more you know. The more you know, the more you understand, the more this is going to make sense when you see the results of this wickedness. And you see this greater and greater evil and people getting further and further. You understand it. When you understand it, it's easier for you to comprehend the world around you and why things are happening. It's going to make you, it's better for your mental health. And you can understand also the importance of your own struggle in the opposite direction. When Satan lied to you and tried to say, hey, these people over here having a good time. These people over here eating each other, man. They wind up killing each other and eating each other and doing weird stuff and tying barbed wire around them and crapping in their mouth. That ain't a good time. This, when you were working on your Christian faith and your struggle, this is what you're getting away from. This is what they're trying to forget all that crap about. Y'all missing out on this fun. That's what they're trying to drag you into, because that's where it leads. Instead, that's why you're struggling for something better. We're going to get on out of here. Thank you again, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for joining me this week. Hope you've enjoyed this discussion. Once again, thank you for those of you who pitched a little in the plate. It's always appreciated. Always humbling. Means a lot to me. More than I can say. Really do. Much appreciated. Thank you for joining us. And hopefully you'll be with us here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.